but I believe that this is the word that the Lord is speaking, and that is 2020 vision. 2020 vision. And I've subtitled it New Beginnings. New Beginnings. John chapter 12, verse 24. It says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time that we have here today. I ask that you would speak to us, that you would make your word a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May it be so, O God, that the word that goes forth today would be God-breathed, and that it would enter into the soil of our heart and produce a harvest of righteousness, peace, and joy. In your name we ask all of these things, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to preach a little bit, a message to you, and then I'm going to talk with you, and then I'm going to read, share with you guys a prophetic word that I believe is for the church this morning. Okay? Y'all with me? So the first point that I have today is this. Last year's harvest is this year's seed. Last year's harvest is this year's seed. You must sow it forward. You must sow it forward. You can't hold on to what you have in your hand and expect it to continue on into perpetuity. You have to sow it in order to continue to reap a harvest. And so what happened last year, the things that happened that we have from last year are not for the rest of our lives. They are a seed to be sown toward our future. Last year's harvest is this year's seed. Now, here's something that is simple, but it's something that we need to understand. You can only reap what you sow. You can only reap what you sow. If you don't sow it, you can't reap it. You can only reap what you sow. It's the law of the harvest, right? What you sow, you reap. What you do in the present, listen to this, what you do in the present with your past determines your future. What you do in the present with your past will determine your future. We can't go back and change the past, right? We can't change the past. But our future is determined by what we do right now with what has happened in the past. I want to think about, for a minute, the story of the little boy who brought his lunch to Jesus. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And he brought that lunch to Jesus. Now, that lunch would have fed him for one day, right? It would have fed him. But when he took it and he gave it to Jesus, Jesus took it and not only fed him, but he fed the multitudes, so much so that there was an abundance left over. God is all about multiplication. Multiplication. Except a seed falls to the ground, a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, and a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not produce a harvest. God is about multiplication, but it requires that we let go of what we have in our hand. We sow it forward. We give it to Jesus and allow him to take it and to multiply it to what he desires for it to be. Only in the hands of the Master, only in the hands of Jesus, can a thing grow and multiply to from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to enough to feed 5,000 plus and 12 baskets left over. Amen? Let's look at another scripture. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. And interestingly enough, it's in two other of the Gospels. You know, whenever you see it three times in the same way, that means it's important. It means it's sound doctrine. You can stand on that, okay? It says, if you try to hang on, this is the New Living Translation, but so listen to this. It says, if you try to hang on to your life, if you try to hang on to it, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Other translations say, find it, right? Other translations say, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. If you lose it for my sake, you will find it. But if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. If you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And this brings us to point number two. Your life is a seed, and people are the soil. Your life is a seed, and people are the soil. The impact of one's life can be measured by the impressions of others. Think about that for a minute. The impact of your life is measured by what other people think about you. It's the influence that I have. It's the way that I'm touching others. It's the things that I'm saying. It's the things that I'm doing. That is what impacts the world around me. It's that impression that's left on others. When you say, what do you think about so-and-so? That impression is a measurable, it's a quantifiable, it's something that you can look at and say, that's the impact that I'm having. That's the impact that I'm having. You can only sow your life into the soil of others. People don't talk about what you had. They talk about what you did. People don't talk about what you had. I don't know. I have never been. Sanford, you've been to probably more of these than I have, and not that we want to brag about this, but I've never been to a funeral where they get up and they said, you know, so-and-so, they had, you know, multiple millions of dollars in the bank. They had multiple houses. They had, you know, these different many businesses that they started. They don't talk about those things, right? What do they talk about? What you did. What you did. The impression that you left upon their life. And so we have to understand that when we sow, when we give our life, that is sowing ourselves into the soil of others. The life, your life is a seed, and people are the soil. What you sow in others will live forever. What you sow in others will live forever. And I want to try to help us to understand this. Whenever I listen, for example, to the stories of my father, that my father tells me about when he was a teenager in the 60s and he had the hatchback Ford Fairlane and he had his leather jacket and he had the music cranked all the way up listening to the Beach Boys as he was driving down the fairway going faster than he should have with the window down and the wind blowing in his hair. Or he tells me about the stories, and he would get mad at me if I was telling you this. He tells me about the stories of how they would take the mufflers off the car and they would lay newspapers on the highway at night and they would go flying down because there would be flames coming out of the back end and it would light the newspapers and so it looked like the road was on fire. I mean, these kinds of stories that my dad told, obviously he lived life and he loved life. Those were great stories. But guess what? They're just stories to me. As much as I can think about what it feels like to have the window rolled down and the wind blowing on my face, right? Or as much as I can think about the thrill that it is to have the radio cranked to my favorite song, and as much as I can think about, where's my son? Close your ears. The pedal to the metal and going down the highway, that never happened. I never did that. Never mind. Don't ever do that. That's the right thing to say. Okay. As much as I can think about these things, and I have personal experiences about these things, that doesn't connect me to his experience. Because I don't know the family dynamic that he grew up in. I wasn't there in that moment where he was going to that high school. I wasn't there whenever he was falling in love with his high school sweetheart. I wasn't there whenever he was experiencing life. The experiences that he had in life were unique and completely his own. And there is no way in a million words that he could ever express to me what was happening in that moment in his life. Do you understand that? And so whenever I say, what you sow into others will live forever, his life, those memories, he can never pass those on. He could journal them, he could write them in a book, but the experience that he lived can never be passed on. Not in a million years. What lives beyond the moment that he passes from this life to the next is what he sowed into me. What he sowed into other people. Those are the things that live on. Your life, listen to me, your life, the moment that you breathe your last breath here on this earth, the vast majority of your life is over. Never, ever, ever again able to be remembered the way that you experienced it. Never, ever, ever again able to be lived the way that you experienced it. It ends. What lives on, what lives beyond us, is what we have sown into people. The people that remember those experiences are the people that experienced it with my dad. The people that remember the experiences that I go through in life each step of the way are the people that experienced it with me, that lived life with me, that was there. You know that saying, you just had to be there. You just had to be there. Well, guess what? That's what lives beyond us. What we sow into other people lives beyond us and will live into perpetuity. Because the impact that I have on one person's life begins to multiply. Why? Because that person, what I did for that person begins, they pass it on. And the people that were impacted, now they're changed. They're forever changed. And what they do, those other people change. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a trickle-down effect. It multiplies. And so the only way for you to have a legacy, something that lives beyond your end date here on this earth, is what you sow into others. Your life purpose is to change the world by sowing God's seed. God's seeds in the people around you. That is your life purpose. You want to know what your life purpose is? It's to sow God's seeds in the lives of people around you. What are God's seeds? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. That's one of them. Faith. These are things that are God's seeds that we can sow into other people's lives. All right, let's look at another scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Point number three. The past is just the past. Say it with me. The past is just the past. You can't arrive at your destination looking in the rearview mirror. You'll crash. Bad things will happen. Okay, I know I've seen, ladies, I'm not trying to pick on y'all, because us guys are probably bad too, but I've seen too many ladies putting their lipstick on, looking in the rearview mirror and practically driving off the road. I mean, man, no guys amened me on that. Y'all just left me out there. That's all right. Golly. That's okay. I see too many guys eating their food, you know, and driving with their leg down the highway, so there you go, okay? Now it's both ways. There you go. You can't arrive at your destination looking in the rearview mirror. The future is ahead, not behind. The future is ahead, not behind. Your memories only benefit you. Your memories only benefit you. That's a reality. Your memories only benefit you because it's only your life that is being shaped by your past, right? They only benefit you. The past serves to remind us of where we came from and of God's goodness. When we look back at the past, when we look at what has been, it's important for us to remember where we came from. Where would I be without Jesus? Where did Jesus find me? It's important for us to understand that the past serves to remind us where we came from and of God's goodness. And of God's goodness. Whenever I'm beginning to doubt, whenever I'm beginning to worry, whenever I'm beginning to feel frustrated, whenever I'm beginning to feel stressed out, whenever I begin to feel anxiety, I only have to look back to my past to remember what God has brought me from and brought me through, to know that He is with me now and He will see me through this and lead me on to what He has in store for me. The past serves as a reminder of God's goodness and what I have come from. It also serves as a history, and it shows progress. Serves as a history, and it shows progress. I can look back and I can say, okay, all right, I'm moving forward. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And it can serve as a history to say, okay, yeah, I see where I did that right. Oh, I see where I did that wrong. I see these things. And it helps me to map out the course, to set the course for the future. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Here's another one of those scriptures that you see three times in three different places throughout the three of the four Gospels. And so that means it's what? Sound doctrine. It's important. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Point number four. Let go of the past. Let go of the past. Let go of the past and embrace the future. Embrace what is ahead. When Jesus came to this earth, He did away with the old covenant. and he brought a new covenant. He established a new covenant. The Apostle Paul spent a large portion of his life trying to convince the Jewish people to stop trying to go back to the old covenant and to live in the new covenant. There is a breaking that happens where the old must pass away for the new to come. And here's another thing. When the new comes, the old is obsolete. How many of you have the iPhone or any kind of electronic device? You know, every year, with every passing year, whatever it is that you have becomes more and more obsolete, right? It just, because there's something new that's coming, something greater that's happening, we have to be willing to let go of the past and embrace the future. Point number two that I want to bring into this is systems are not holy. Systems are not holy. God is holy. Systems are not holy. I want you to think about Jesus. When he came to this earth, what was it that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a problem with him about? What was their biggest pet peeve? He wasn't following the system. He wasn't doing things the way they had always done it. It was something different. They were mad because he didn't wash his hands before eating. They were mad because his disciples were picking corn on the Sabbath day. They got mad at him because his disciples weren't fasting when everybody else was fasting. They got mad at him because he was healing people on the Sabbath. They got mad at him over stupid stuff, because he was not following the system. He was doing things different. And it didn't follow tradition. Think about the Apostle Paul. Let's back up to Peter. Peter, he's there, and he's on a rooftop, and all of a sudden he sees a vision, and then there's a knock at the door, and God says, go with them. And he had preached on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized and you will receive the Holy Spirit, right? That was his message. Okay, he gets over to Cornelius' house and he begins to share the gospel with him, which first of all was a big step. That was a big no-no because he was a Gentile. Okay, and he's over there talking to this Gentile about, he said, okay, look, because he got there and he says, listen, you need to read his message one of these days because it's really lame. Okay? It really is. He goes, all right, look, this is not traditional. This isn't normal. I don't normally do this, but God showed up and he told me that this is what I have to do, and so I'm going to come here and I'm going to begin to share with you. Now, look, this is what happened. You know, us Jews, we have these traditions, but Jesus came and he did this and that. I mean, this is the way he's talking, if you read the story. And it says, while he's talking, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fell, and everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues. Now he's sitting there and he's going, what just happened? And he said, okay, well, I guess if they got filled with the Holy Spirit, is there anything preventing them from getting baptized? Anybody object to that? It was contrary to the system. It was contrary to the system. The Apostle Paul, he shows up on the scene, and he just begins to go one thing after another, after another, after another, saying, look, why are you telling these Gentiles that they got to go and be circumcised? What? Every single person up to that point, in order to be a part of the family of God, had to be circumcised. That was in the law of Moses. And the Apostle Paul says, no. Circumcision is of the heart. And he goes on and on, and one thing after another, he's bucking the system. He's coming against the system. Why? Because we as human beings, we are so set on trying to figure out a system that works. Just give me the 1, 2, 3 and the ABC and I'm okay. I'll just take it. I'm good from here. I'm going to just follow that and everything's going to work out. And Jesus came and said, the system didn't work. The old thou shalt and thou shalt not didn't work. Don't you remember the guy that came to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, you know the law. Honor your father and mother. Should not kill, should not steal. He's going through this list. And the guy says, oh, no. You don't understand. I've kept all of that since I was a kid. I've done all of that. And Jesus says, okay, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. The guy stopped, walked away, crushed. Jesus knows just how to get to the heart of things. If we have a system that we can follow, we will bypass relationship all day long. If we have a system we can follow, we'll bypass relationship all day long. And Jesus came on the scene and says, I'm not going to give you a system. I'm giving you relationship. That's what happened whenever there were the multitudes that had followed him, and he turned to them and said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. They all got mad and left. Because he was saying, unless there's relationship here, it doesn't work. The only way that this works is if we're in living, breathing relationship with God. And so what God is speaking to us is this. Systems are not holy. God is holy. Systems are not holy. God is holy. And if you're looking for a system, you're looking for, forgive me, religion. That's what you're about. If you're about a system, you're about religion. But relationship is not a system. Relationship is a living, breathing experience with God Almighty. As the song says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am in his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Why? Because it's a personal experience. It's unique. It's único, as they say in Spanish. It's of its own nature, of its own design. There's nothing else that can compare to it. And that's what Jesus wants to have with us. Let go of the past. Embrace the future. And the last thing I want to say is God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Will you be a part? Will you be a part of it? God has prepared a special anointing for this generation. God has prepared a special anointing for this generation. He is about to pour out his spirit like never before. And he is looking for those who will allow him to use them. He can make you new. The choice is yours. The voice of the prophets are speaking like never before. It is time to catch the vision. It is time to listen. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There is a lady who the Lord uses in the prophetic. Her name is Lana Vassar. And I don't ever endorse a person because I never know what's going to happen in the future. Okay? But I endorse this word that the Lord spoke to her. And so I'm going to share this word with you because I believe that it is for this house. My wife was sitting in the living room, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden this came across. A friend of hers sent it to her and said, well, I believe that the Lord is speaking this word to you. And as she began to read it, she wasn't reading it out loud. She was reading it quietly. And at first, I saw this kind of a grin on her face, like almost like an unbelief. And then I heard this, you know, like one of those laughs, like, that's interesting. And then as it progressed, it was just like I could just see it all over her face. She was just blown away. And I said, I kept saying, what? She said, just wait. And she finished it, and she said, okay, now I need to share this with you. And as she began to read it to me, immediately I knew in my heart that this was the word that God was speaking to our congregation. And so I share it with you this morning. It says, at the start of last week, I had an encounter with the Lord, and he showed me large books. And on the front of the book, it said, Books of Beginnings. The Lord showed me that in this new era, there are going to be many beginnings. Now, beginnings is the point in time or space at which something begins. Synonyms are dawn, birth, inception, conception, origination, genesis, emergence, rise, start, starting point, launch, onset, outset, unfolding, development, developing, debut, kickoff, commencement, opening. The Lord spoke to me that in 2020, there are going to be multiple beginnings and birthings. We have entered into a new era, a new beginning, and in 2020, there is going to be a dawning, a rising, a launching, an unfolding, an opening that is going to take place like never before. There is going to be clarity and development of vision like never before. There is going to be the manifestation of things God has said in the dark come into the light in their manifestation. There will be significant birthing of promises in 2020 and monumental upgrades. And there will also be conception of new vision from the Lord, new assignments and commissions. In the encounter I had with the Lord showed me that there are many word curses being spoken over these beginnings that the Lord has decreed over the lives of his people. In this encounter, the Lord showed me so many of his people in such ferocious battles right now. And I know many have been in a battle for a long time. But he showed me many looking to him and crying out because the closer it gets to the closing of 2019, the signs of breakthrough in the natural have not yet come. Yet their spirits are soaring with the knowing that the things are shifting and moving. There is a battle over the books of beginning that the Lord has decreed for your life in 2020 and beyond. The new things the Lord has for you. There are so many things that the Lord has in store for you in 2020 and beyond that you haven't even thought about or imagined. And what you are fighting is not natural circumstances, but a spiritual battle. In this encounter I had with the Lord, he showed me the breaking off of these word curses. There are whirlwinds of jealousy. There have been poisonous words and whispers behind backs, but the Lord is dealing with it all. The Lord showed me that these words being spoken are coming like arrows in the spirit, but the Lord is sending forth his fiery arrows to dismantle these words being spoken. I heard the Lord say, the enemy is doing all he can to dismantle and abort that which I am building in the lives of my people in 2020. And many have been fighting and standing for a long time. The time has come for the dismantling of the enemy's plans and assignments over my people's lives in opposition to these beginnings I have decreed. I am teaching my people the power of their words and the power of the tongue. I am awakening my people in discernment and heavenly wisdom as they seek me and cry out for discernment. I am raising up a people who will not tolerate being pushed around by the enemy anymore, but live in the secret place in strength. Their strength comes from me, the power of my spirit, and living in the place of adoration. I know I have released quite few words on the power of praise and worship in the last month, and the Lord won't let me move from it. The posture of adoration of the Lord is causing accelerated alignments in the lives of his people. Out of the place of adoration of God and his beauty, rising up from deep within them is the decree of who he is and the word of God. He is enthroned on the praises of his people. There is mighty movement that is taking place in the place of adoration of who he is, worshiping our beautiful King Jesus. The Lord showed me miracles taking place and sudden shifts taking place from the place of praise and worship. The deep place of rest in the worship and praise of who he is and seeing miracles manifest by his hand. Be intentional to worship out of 2019 and into 2020. We have entered 5779, that's the Jewish New Year, and there is a massive shift that took place in the crossing over. As I sat with the Lord, he showed me that there is a breaking of alignment. There is going to take place as 2019 closes in the Western calendar and we move into 2020. I saw many being assaulted by what looked like black tentacles, and they looked like octopus tentacles. Immediately I knew this represents assault by a Jezebelic spirit. I saw Jesus before those who were being assaulted, and he spoke, "Arm yourself with adoration." The sense surrounded me so strongly to lift your eyes to the heavens. For where does your help come from? The maker of heaven and earth. I know there are specific ways to deal with a Jezebelic spirit and its assaults. And in this encounter, the Lord showed me that many eyes have been on the tentacles because the battle had been so fierce and going on for so long. In the discouragement and weariness, eyes have come down into the natural and onto the tentacles. The Lord showed me in this encounter that as his people intentionally lift up their eyes to Jesus and make the choice to intentionally adore him in the crossover into 2020, there is going to be a major breaking of any alignment with the Jezebelic attack in the lives of believers. The Lord showed me that it will be his hand that is going to bring forth a mighty move of his spirit. The wind of his spirit is going to blow strongly in the place of adoration of who he is, and he is going to deal with this assault. There will be repentance that will take place of eyes upon the attack. There will be repentance of tolerating this attack, and a fresh wind is going to blow upon the people of God that will heal them, refresh them, and impart new vision to them for 2020 and beyond. There will be a sudden alignment that will take place with the plans and purposes of God for 2020 and the new assignments that he has for his people. Many will receive their joy, excitement, and expectation again for 2020, and the blocks they have been feeling and seeing will suddenly fall away. I am going to increase the seer gift. What is a seer? That's the gift of the prophetic, where God is revealing things to us. He's opening our eyes to see like never before. Here's the scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In closing, I want to ask us this. Will we let go and let God? Are you ready to align yourself with what God is doing and what he is going to do? Will you allow yourself to be the vessel that he uses to bring revival to generations that are desperately in need of an encounter with the one true living God? They need Jesus, and he is ready to reveal himself to them, but he needs vessels. Jesus spoke in parables to the people. He told stories of farming to farmers. He used stories of fishing to fishermen. He used stories of building projects to construction workers. And he spoke in scholarly terms to the learned. The Apostle Paul said, I have become all things to all men, so that for the sake of some I may win Christ. Let God make you, listen, let God make you what he needs you to be in order to reach who he needs you to reach. Let God make you what he needs you to be in order to reach who he needs you to reach. I want us to all close our eyes, bow our heads. And I just want us to pray this prayer together. If you mean this in your heart and you're ready to make this your prayer, pray it with me out loud. Holy Spirit, here I am. Use me. I give you all that I am. I surrender my past. I don't want to live on yesterday's experience. Give me a fresh revelation. Give me a fresh anointing. Fill me today and use me to reach this generation for you. Here I am. Send me. We're going to sing this song together. You don't have to get up. If you feel to stand, you may stand. If you want to sit, just allow this to be a prayer on your heart.
Make me a vessel. Make
Lord, we want the new. We want the new. Would you stand with me? Lord, we choose not to live in the past. We choose not to live in the past. Lord, we know that the only way to the future is the present. And so, Lord, right now, right here, we stand before you and we proclaim, may your kingdom come and your will be done today in my life. Use me for your honor. Use me for your glory. May it be so, O God, that you would pour out the fresh anointing, the fresh spirit, the new wine upon our lives and pour through us as we sow into the soil. As we sow our lives into the soil of those around us, may it be so, God, that your kingdom would be furthered and established, and your presence would be established over us. Draw us into deeper relationship with you. Draw us into a greater experience of worship and adoration. And may it be so, just as this word spoke, that as we adore you, as we worship you, as we lift you up, that your throne would be established over every circumstance and every situation of our life and every attack of the enemy, everything that the enemy has tried to mean for evil, Lord, that you will turn around and use for good. Thank you, Lord, that you are not about restoring the past. You're about redeeming the past and leading us into relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for a future that is bright. Thank you for the future of this church that is bright. And thank you for every single person that is here today that is saying, here I am. Use me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may it be so that you would use us as your vessels of peace as we go from this place, as we walk outside of these four walls, Lord, and we begin to share your truth with those around us and we share your love with those around us. May it be so, O God, that we would be those vessels of peace that you use for your honor, for your glory. I bless those, every single person that is here, I bless them with your peace and with a renewed anointing, a fresh anointing, an infilling of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.